welcome to Accessagogy, a podcast about accessibility and pedagogy. I'm your host, Anne Gagne, and this podcast is recorded on land covered by the Upper Canada Treaties and within land protected by the Dish With One Spoon Wampum Agreement, which is the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe peoples. Welcome to episode 41. In this episode, I want to discuss something that has been bothering me for years, and I often bring it up to different people who do this as part of their facilitation practices, but sometimes I'm dismissed or ignored when I bring it up, and that is mindfulness practices. In particular, I want to talk about how we need to think about mindfulness practices in a way that is a little bit more accessible. So mindfulness practices, some folk call these maybe grounding exercises, need to be accessible if this is something that you choose to do in your facilitation practice. So this isn't a mindfulness is bad episode. It's more of a, hey, have you thought that maybe you could make your mindfulness practices a little bit more accessible? And how they are framed now sometimes can be super activating for your participants, and maybe you want to change that kind of episode. So to start, it would be important to make sure that we're kind of talking about the same thing when we're talking about mindfulness practices. So what I'm referring to here are any series of typical exercises or activities or practices that folk ask participants to do often at the beginning of a workshop in order to kind of make themselves present in the space. And so I know that this is a podcast and you can't see me doing my quotation marks around the word present as I say it, but trust me, I'm making air quotes around present. So what does that look like? Well, traditionally, there's this one that happens a fair bit where the facilitator will ask folk to notice what they're hearing, what they're smelling, notice what they're feeling, something like a five senses type exercise. And this exercise often sets me up for a workshop that makes me feel present in all kinds of bad ways, to be honest, because I don't have a sense of smell and I mask indoors and when I'm in public. I also have tinnitus or tinnitus, and so often the only thing that I'm hearing is a very high-pitched squeal. And I really don't need to be reminded of that when I'm really trying hard to be present, in quotation marks. Another one of these exercises can be breathing exercises that ask the participant to think about like where they're holding tension or where they're holding feelings. And again, I need some kind of warning about these exercises, as do many others, right? Some folk join webinars and meetings because they actually need a distraction from all the things that are rattling in their body minds. And they don't necessarily come to a workshop on inclusive learning outcomes or inclusive learning practices to remember that they're grieving their friend who just died, you know? So I hope that these examples, I'm laughing because that happened to me this week. So I hope that these examples give you an idea of what I'm talking about when I'm referring to mindfulness exercises, but also I hope that my reasons for why they're problematic, at least to me, can get you to see how they could easily be problematic and activating for many in your spaces, and it would actually like start your workshop in the opposite way that you really want to start it. So I acknowledge that most people do these exercises because they think it's a great way to make sure that people put their minds in the space they're in and forget like a previous bad meeting they were just in. But it also assumes that folk can do that. And fun fact, a lot of people can't do that. And that's kind of a normative assumption that rests at the heart of a lot of these activities. So what I would like to do today is not say scrap all your mindfulness exercises, because I think they're important. They're important to your workshop. They're important to the framing that your workshop's about. But what I'd like to do is give you three ways of reframing those mindfulness exercises that could be a little bit more inclusive and a little less activating for some folk. So what? One way to make these exercises more inclusive and less activating is to reframe them by emphasizing that folk can participate in ways that are meaningful to them in that moment. Just by adding that word, meaningfulness, can help the participant see that there's not just one monolithic way of doing this exercise or being in the moment. This acknowledges that everyone is joining this space in their own moment in time and with their own body minds. And this leads to two, which is try to avoid your mindfulness exercises to be determinant on particular sensory engagements or activities or actions. So no more of those what do you smell prompts, no more of those what do you hear prompts, no more asking folk to put their feet on the ground, which some people are wheelchair users or simply can't touch the ground with their feet. So instead, ask them to, you know, sort of attune to their own body-mind needs that they may have in that moment, which may or may not be sensory, and just to acknowledge them and share if they feel comfortable. So this, in fact, might be a nice way to move the workshop towards more, you know, of a conversation around accessibility needs that the facilitators can support. So maybe enabling captions if they've been forgotten, or maybe addressing the temperature in the room if you have the capacity to change that, or maybe making sure that the facilitators are using microphones, for example. This kind of body-mind awareness could go much further than just asking for specific sensory engagements in the participants, and they can engage in ways that are meaningful to them. And then finally, three, flag that this is how you're gonna start the session, and then give the participants an option to leave if that's what they want. If you strongly feel that mindfulness exercises need to be done in a certain way, and some people are simply not in the body-mind space to do that kind of work to start, but are interested in the topic of your workshop as a whole, then let them know that this is an exercise that should take, you know, a couple of minutes, and encourage them to leave the space or to do something else or to mute or to log off and do whatever works for them and then come back. Honestly, there's nothing worse than feeling trapped in a space and having to do an activity or an exercise that you're simply not physically able to do or emotionally ready to do. So don't put your participants in that space. I know you mean well, honestly. I know the motivation is to make sure that the folk are there to do the work, but you also need to acknowledge stims. You need to acknowledge the need for folk to use fidgets. You need to acknowledge that how each person is in a space is going to be very different depending on the person and depending on the day. So the way that you make the space more inclusive and meaningful to the participants is to ensure that there is not just one way of being in that space or being in their body minds, and to share that with others. So that's it. That's episode 41 of Accessagogy, with a discussion of the use of mindfulness practices and how we could maybe make them a little bit more inclusive and less isolating for disabled and neurodivergent folk in your workshops and seminars. Remember that I want this to be a space where we can ask questions and share concepts that you'd like me to discuss. So if there's anything that I mentioned here as it relates to mindfulness practices and you want me to elaborate, please ask. As always, if there are any ideas or aspects of your pedagogy that you'd like me to address in this podcast, please feel free to send me an email at accessagogy. So that's accessagogy at gmail.com. I'll try to include as many of these suggestions as possible in the podcast, because ultimately, this podcast is for you. So that's it. That's episode 41 of Accessagogy. Thanks so much for following along and asking, how can I make my space more accessible today? Have a great week.